intentions, all your prayers. I'd like to look at a scripture in the 144th Psalm. Says that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in, nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Well, I'd like to think a little bit tonight about happy is that people. I think that living for the Lord is the happiest life that you can have. I know the scripture says many are the affliction of the righteous. And I know that it says they that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. But it's just a whole lot better to do it with the Lord than it is to do it through this world. And this scripture says, happy is that people. This was written by David, who was king. And I think David was a good king. He had his problems, but David was a good king. If you look at David's life, you'll find out that the Bible set him up as the mark of kings. That's, everyone went back to whether they lived like David or they didn't. He was the mark that they set other kings by. David was a man after God's own heart. And he was the ruler. And his heart, you can see it in this writing, his heart was for his people. Which, that was what a good king would do. I've heard it said that the worst form of government that there is a king, a bad king.
That's right.
And I've heard the best form of government in the world is a good king.
That's right.
And it's true.
Yes.
Well, you think of all the arguing and all that they do about trying to get something done. A king don't have to argue with anybody. And if he's good and his mind is to do things right and he's prayerful and right, wouldn't it be best to have a king if he was a good one? And you get a bad one, you'd have a bad one. And it makes hard for the people. But David was a good king. And he wanted his people, he wanted his people to be happy. And so him being a writer of songs and all, he wrote this. So I like to look at it a little bit because he was saying that happy is the people. 12th verse says that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. Well, we're going to pick on the young people a little bit. Sons that grow up as a plant. I think what it's talking about here is David's desire and his understanding to know that his kingdom needed men. It'd be real hard to keep a kingdom without men, wouldn't it? Not just men that gave themselves to any kind of passion and desire. David had known real men.
Yes.
You remember the guys that was out there? It was one of the impressive stories in the Bible of David's mighty men. And David looked down there and the garrison of the Philistines was there at Bethlehem. And David was up in the mountain. He longed for a drink of the water at the well of Bethlehem. And some of his mighty men went down there and took on the Philistines and come back with water. And he didn't command them. The scripture didn't say anything about commanding them. He just longed. And because of these were men that were devout, devoted to a cause and to a person. And they went down there at the hazard of their lives to get David a drink of water. And they brought the water back and gave it to him. And when he saw that they periled their life, in other words, it was bought with blood, so to speak. They was willing to give their blood for something as simple as a drink. He could have drunk the water with everybody. He just longed for a drink. But they had so much desire and passion for it that they went down there and hazarded their lives to it. And David, when he realized this, he couldn't drink the water because he knew he wasn't worthy of their blood. Well, he couldn't really give them what they really needed. He knew he wasn't worthy of it. And so he poured it out to the only one that's really worthy. He gave it as a drink offering to the Lord. He gave it and poured it out back onto the dirt to the Lord because he didn't feel... But he knew what men were. He knew what it meant to be a man. And he prayed, his desire here is that our sons, this is talking about that those that follow after us would have integrity. There would be real men. I want to tell you, I feel like that our nation is running out of men. To be honest, oh yeah, there's men there. And there's got a lot of guys with muscles and they train and they do all that. But that's not the definition of a man. That's not what David was looking for. David was looking for that our sons would be able to be raised in an environment and come up with integrity to God. That these men would be men that would die for God. That they would look at evil all around them and they would give themselves to causes that was bigger than they are. That they didn't look at their life as being the most important thing and the whole world rotates around them. You know, that's what the world teaches our youth. Is the whole world rotates around you. But David longed that our sons would grow up like a plant in its youth. And what he's talking about there is that in the tender early stages of a plant's life is where it's most vulnerable. Yes. It's where it can be scarred, and it will always be scarred. A young sapling, if it's scarred deep enough in the youth, it will never be a big tree. It'll gnaw, or it will be, there will something happen to it that it'll never make a tree that's really worth anything. And knowing that, and in that very tender place and time in there, he said that our sons would grow up like a plant in its youth, that it would grow up strong and become a real tree, a place of stability. We've had men like that in our country, I believe, that led our country in the past. Yes. Men that gave themselves to something, that was willing to stand up for something and do the right instead of doing the wrong. I heard of not getting political here or anything, but I heard that Ronald Reagan wouldn't take his suit coat off in the Oval Office. His respect for the office and the position that he held, that while he was in there, he wouldn't take his jacket off. There was all kind of stuff. But this man had some intake. Something meant something to him to look at something and say, I'm going to honor this thing and have some integrity about it. David longed for men because men's important in our time. Lord, help us to have the same kind of desire that our sons would grow up. That we would make the environment around that our sons could grow up strong, stable. Amen. That they would grow up to everyone that has a daughter, they're hoping somebody's son's going to grow up and be a man of integrity. I recently heard of somebody was telling me about a young man that said he was picky with girls. And he said he was waiting, he wanted a queen. They said the only problem is he's not a king. Well, if you want a queen, you're going to have to be a king to get one. And you're going to have to take some integrity. And what this whole idea David was saying is that we want to be happy. We want a happy habitation. There's a way to have it and lustful and dishonest and selfish about your life is not a good way to be happy. So Lord, help our sons to grow up like a plant in its youth, and help it not to be scarred with the things that this world has, because the world wants to scar our young men. They want to get things, I want to tell you, get stuff going in there in its youth, and it's real tough to ever become what God really intended them to be. Lord, help us today, young brethren today, keep yourselves in this world. Lord, help us that we'd have that kind of environment, because the truth of it is, we need strong honest young men with integrity. To be able to shoulder up to the things that we need to take care of. To be able to really lead and go on. To be able to contact and get a hold of God. We need that. And I challenge the young people today, if you're here and you're young, this was David's desire for his kingdom. And one of the prescriptions of being happy was to have his son. The first thing he mentioned was that his sons be strong.
Yes.
And strong in the Lord. Then he talks about that our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace. A cornerstone is where it all comes together at.
Yes.
It is the direction, and it establishes something.
Yes.
It's an important part of the whole structure of it.
Yes.
And he was saying that our daughters would take on that place there of bringing things together, that they would be something that would be honorable, that this would be something that would be impressive. Said that it would be polished.
Yes.
Polished, that's shining, isn't it? That there would be graces there. That there would be graces. I've told this several times, but I heard about back during Obama's visit to England. They had met Queen Elizabeth, and there was a big news thing about it because the First Lady went up and hugged the Queen, and that's not proper protocol. Well, to be honest with you, I don't know proper protocol, so I definitely didn't think harsh of her. I thought it was kind of touching, actually, that she went up and hugged the Queen, but you're not supposed to do that. But there was a discussion about that, and they were saying, well, what did the Queen do? They said she hugged her back. And then the guy told the story about Queen Elizabeth and said, Queen Elizabeth is a very gracious woman. And said there was a time when, this is supposed to be a true story, that there was some dignitaries that had come, and it was, of course, they invite them in and they bring them into the palace and all, and they bring them in and they dine, they bring them dinner, and they do the whole deal. And anyway, they have finger foods from time to time. Anyway, one of the customs was supposed to be that at a certain time, they would bring these little bowls and napkins and bring it in, and all it was for was to wash your fingers off. You was just supposed to wash it off. Well, they sat in front of this one guy, and I can imagine, I could really get this because it would be just like I do probably. But they give him the bowl and he just slides it over in front of him, gets his spoon and starts to eat. And they said Queen Elizabeth slides hers over, gets her spoon, and starts to eat too. Because she was gracious.
Yes.
That was her environment. That was her, she was the one bringing it. She didn't want anybody to be embarrassed because it's her place. And she was being as gracious and as much hospitality as she could, and she didn't want any embarrassment to be in her place, so she joined in and done what he did to keep from embarrassing you. Don't you think that would be a great bit of grace to be able to do that kind of stuff? It wasn't snickering, it wasn't you don't know any better or any of that. I'll just come down to where you're at and go ahead and do it. This is talking about our daughters. Our daughters that would shine, that didn't have graces in their life, that they would have a purity and an honor about them. I want to tell you something. There was a time, and it's too bad that it's being lost in our country. There was a time that women were greatly respected.
Yes.
And it is a shame and a disgrace to our nation that it is no longer that way. Because it was something important and very valuable about what it says about people. It's something very valuable. I can remember back when I was young growing up, we didn't know anything about the Lord or anything like that. And I can remember being around the hunting camps and those kind of things. And I remember the kind of crude men that I was around. And my dad, he hunted and we did those things. And I can remember how the men at the camp talked and that kind of thing. But I'm going to tell you what they didn't do. They never said anything around a woman like that. They never talked in any kind of, they didn't use any kind of bad language. They didn't do anything like that. When they come in the presence of a woman, they talked different back then. It was a different world back then. But I'm going to tell you where it was lost at for a big part. It was lost and the women when they wasn't respectful anymore. In my generation, the filthiness and the dirty talk came from the girls as much as it did from anybody.
Yes.
This is talking about to be happy in life. To be really happy, there are some things that's going to make it that way, and there are some things that's going to tear it down. It's going to be impossible for us to maintain our marriages if our men don't have integrity and our women don't have graces.
Right.
It's going to be impossible to keep it. A dignity about themselves, a caution about what they do and where they go, a carefulness about their life, a cornerstone, something that you absolutely can build home and family on. Something that's going to stand right there when the push comes to shove. This thing's going to stand right here. See what it's saying. It's solid there. Let our daughters be this way, he was saying. Let our women folks take this on themselves and be shined up. Let them be polished for the truth, for right, for honesty. Young brothers, young sisters, this is a challenge of the Lord to you in your life. You want to be happy? Follow this.
Yes.
Follow this and you'll find joy. You'll find happiness in your life. It says that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store. Well, you know, I think of that. I think, well, that'd be real good. Kind of like Elijah in his mill barrel. The Lord will just build some storehouses and you just keep pouring it in. Is that what he was praying? You think that was his prayer? No, it wasn't his prayer. Lord, help us. You want to be happy? You're going to have to do things. You know what? I can remember back when I was growing up, and like I said, I didn't live for the Lord or nothing like that, and I can remember some late nights up and running around and those kind of things and going in and sleeping till 1 o'clock the next day. I don't remember ever feeling right about that. It never did make me happy and satisfied and have much self-respect to do that. Lord, help our garners and our storehouses to be full. You know what it takes to fill up a storehouse? It takes some work, don't it? It takes effort. Lord, help us that we would be able to work. Help us that we would be wise in the pursuit of our lives. This is just an unfortunate fact of our time. And I don't think the Lord feels that way either. It's saying that you shouldn't go to the money or to the bank and borrow money. But you know, there's just too many people too far in debt. And it's an awful thing. And it keeps people very disturbed in their spirit. It keeps them very uneasy. It keeps them a running and a laboring and a working because they didn't manage. They didn't manage. They wasn't careful. They didn't put things in its right order. They looked at the shining all in the world, and Lord, everybody else is getting it, so I'm going to get mine too. But David's looking at things different. And if you get into the wording of this, you'll find out that he was asking the Lord to give them some carefulness about things. Give them the industry. Lord, give us some industry here. Help us to be able to know how to work, how to better bring forth stuff, how to save when we need to save, how to put up to the storehouse, how not to overeat. How to keep our storehouses full. How to do things right. Because ultimately, it's our happiness, folks. It's being able to sit down and kick your feet up at the long day of hard work and be able to know that everything around you is done well and it's there. And if you need it, it's there.
Yes.
And he prayed for that, Lord, that our garners might be full. Help us to know how to do it.
Yes.
Help us to know how to do it better. They say that one of the biggest... I should say that it's one of the number one causes for marital problems is money problems.
Yeah.
That's what they say. It's going to be hard to be diligent for the Lord and do what the Lord wants you to do when you got all the obligations. To have to do this, I'm tied up for the next 60 years of my life to try to take care of all these credit cards and all these things that are done. And you may be sitting back here saying, well, I don't know anything about this. Well, I do. Because I have been in the counseling end of a lot of this. of people that's just way, way over their heads and can't serve the Lord any better, can't take a day off to go to the camp meeting, or can't take off time to do anything for the Lord because they got themselves in such a strait. Because he wasn't able to manage, he wasn't able to look at the things of this world and say, I don't have to have it. I don't have to have that. Amen. We're talking about happiness. We're talking about not being all bent out of shape and running here and there and wife squabbling. And a husband comes home and says, what do you mean you bought extra milk today? We don't have no money for milk. Well, look, you just got you an extra pair of shoes, you know. And here it goes. Remember, I come home from work one day years ago. There was a sister in our congregation putting in regular prayer requests. Didn't have money for the rent. Rent was 2 or 3 months behind. And Lord, work it out. Come home from work one day and her husband comes back and he waves me off. He sees me coming. He steps out and waves and flags me down. Oh, I got something to show you, he said. Got out of the truck and he pulls out of his truck this brand new 243. Big nice scope on it and all. And he pulls it out. Man, I got a deal on this today. I only paid $300. Gun scope and the whole bit. I'm sitting there thinking, brother, I didn't say anything. But I was thinking, brother, you way out of line. Yeah, pretty scope. Good that you got it. Wonder what the wife in there feels like. In there. Been worrying and worrying herself whether she's going to even have the house to stay in. And you're in there doing that. But David knew better than that. And he said, Lord, help our garners to be full. Help us to know how to fill up the cabinets. Help us to know how to manage things. But basically, if you don't have money to do it, don't do it. Well, maybe it ain't that simple. But Lord, help us. That our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our street. Not actually in the streets, but where sheep ought to be. Lord, help the increase. Help us to increase and to be able to manage and function and be able to do it. He wasn't saying that the Lord would just do it in spite of themselves. He was saying, Lord, teach us how to do it. Help us to know how to manage. Can you manage 10,000 sheep? What would you do? I wouldn't know the first thing about it. But David was saying, Lord, help us to know how to increase and what to do with it. Where to give and where not to give. How to handle the resources that we have around us. Lord, is there going to be famine in our life? It's not bad to keep something back. It really isn't. Tomorrow it may come. You may need something for it. Lord, help us to know that and do these things. And we'll live peaceable if we do. We'll be able to have something if we do. So Lord, help us to know better how to do it. How to live life. The scripture says, 3 John I think it is, says, I would that ye prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. That scripture is talking about three categories that is necessary for humans to be well-rounded. Yeah. They need to be healthy. You know, it's hard to hurt. Yes, it really is. It's hard to be in pain. It's hard to really have joy and happiness when you're in pain. There is something over. We'll get to it in a little bit, but it is necessary. It's a health of the body. And there's a health of the soul. And there's a prosperity of the things that are around us. We have needs. We have needs, and the Lord knows all that. And he said, I would that you prosper, that your worldly things are provided for you. Comfortably. I don't think God don't have enough he can't give to us, do you? He's given us abundantly in this world that we're in. Thank God for it. I would that you be in health, that you would prosper. Even, not in spite of, but even as your soul prospers. As your soul prospers, oh, that we would have all of these other blessings that would make us rounded and healthy and happy and don't have to worry and fret and be comfortable and all those things. And Paul, or David being a king of his people, he longed that his people would be that way. That they could have that kind of things in their life. That our oxen may be strong to labor. All right? Well, it wouldn't be much good to have hook up an old cow out there to the plow that couldn't get the sod turned over, would it? No. Wouldn't be no good to have something that don't work. So he was asking, Lord, he didn't say plow our fields up for us, but he did say, Lord, give us oxen that had strength to be able to do it. I think of oxen in there as, well, there's a type of that in there. of the gospel, of the ministers of the gospel, of the anointing that God would put on, of the determination, that we have. Lord, give us good determination. Lord, give our ministers extra strength to plow for the Lord. Lord, give our ministers extra strength that we might be able to get what's really valuable in life. I want to know what it's all about. Lord, give our ministers that extra kind of strength. Lord, give my family the kind of determination they need. That slow, steady pull. You know, some people just want to get out there and run. I've seen it happen, run and run. And I don't usually get too impressed with somebody that jumps out of the starting block at this runs for the long haul. You get out there and start sprinting out there. They're going to blow themselves out down there somewhere. You'll see them off to the side of the road down there somewhere. But he said, Lord, give our oxen. Make them to be strong. They're steady pullers. Help them to be strong and endure. Endure. Keep on going. You know what that means to me? It means to me there's going to be some things come our way. It's not always going to be easy to get the field plowed. Sometimes it's just not easy. Especially, brother, I'm going to tell you, sometimes it just takes some blisters on your hands. Sometimes it just takes a real determination. Don't get down under that thing. Lord, give me the strength to pull this load. Lord, help me to be a godly man in spite of this world that's all around trying to make me feel like I'm a sissy if I go this way. Lord, give me a real determination to go on. You know what the end result of this is going to be? There's going to be some happiness in there. There's going to be some respect of those around. They're going to have families that are going to respect one another in the long run. I'm going to tell you, if you're going to have relationships that's worth anything, the bottom line of it is going to be honesty and respect. If you can't have respect for one another, if you can't have honesty to one another, there's no grounds for any kind of a relationship. Lord, help us to be able to pull a good, steady pull. Give us strength, Lord. Give our oxen strength. Be able to pull the plow, the cart, whatever the workload is. Give our oxen strength enough to pull it. Lord, we're not asking that you do the work for us, but give us the materials to do it. Give us the strength to do it with. Help us to be able to do this kind of a thing. Help our determination. Lord, men. Man, Lord help, don't just give your wives the responsibility to take your children to service. No. Lord help me be able to pull. You go ahead and get in there and pull. Lord help our oxen to pull. It says that there be no breaking in, no going out. No breaking in or going out. This is talking, I believe, about security. And if you're going to be happy, and you're going to be peaceful, you're going to be secure. There's no way around it. And he's saying, Lord, make the habitation of our people peaceful. Give the people a mind not to break in. Keep the enemy out. Don't break in and steal and always be on turmoil about what's coming in, but that it would be a peaceful place. It's well secured. It's got its bulwarks up. It's got its walls up. Yeah. It's a walls of salvation around us that nothing can break into this. Folks, there's a good analogy to that. We need to have our barriers. Lord, help us. We need to set our standards. Our places of this. We have those that we collectively do, but I'm going to tell you, we need them personally. There's places that you may go, I know I can't go.
That's right.
I just can't do it. I cannot. I need to have walls. You know, I want to tell you, the devil's going to take advantage of me if I do go that way.
Yeah.
I recently asked a young man, he was liking music and playing music and all those kind of things, and I asked him a simple question. I thought I'd get a good answer out of it. Well, I said, well, what's your limitations on the music you play? What you listen to? What you play? What's your limitations? He said, I don't have any. Isn't that great? I said, well, sure sounds free. Sure sounds free. Sure free to the flesh. It's awful dangerous, folks. It's terribly dangerous to just say, I have none. I have none. I don't listen to anything and don't play anything. I'll do anything. I don't have any problem with it. Lord help. That's what I thought. I said, well, Lord help. You're going to have some barriers, some places. I won't go there. I'm not going to go. I'm going to have some walls that nothing break in there, because I'm going to tell you what. I really believe this.
I believe that you, to some degree, give right for the devil to be where he's at.
Amen.
Scripture says, give no room. Give him no room. Why? Because if you give him room, he's going to take it.
Yes.
If you've got his toys, he's got a right to be there to play with them. You got his stuff, he can come check on them.
That's right.
You and I play around with him, I'm inviting him into my world, into my children's world, into my wife's world, into my own heart to do things that I don't even understand what's going on. And there's where it come from. The enemy's in there disturbing my life. This said that there would be a place that would be no breaking in and no going out. Don't need to go out. No, none of this having to be forced out. All these things that's being attacked by the enemy. This is what this is talking about, is how the enemy comes in and works, that there would be a defense around. David longed for that for his kingdom. Lord, that there would be a protection around about us. I know troubles and heartaches comes and all those things, but you know, I believe the Lord's got a protection for his people too. But I think you can get outside of it and get yourself in all kind of trouble. And it may not show so much on you, but you wait until the sons and daughters starts coming in. See, at the damage that's done by allowing it to happen. Looks so innocent in my life, but wait till the generation comes. Oh, David was saying, Lord, help our young men and our young women. Help the barriers in the places that we have around us. And look at them old heathen world around. You think it was a whole lot different? Well, I think we see it that way. You think it was a whole lot different? They was idolatrous people all the time around, and they was working and they was dealing, and they had their caravans of trade and all that kind of stuff too. Always bringing in their little tinkered things and their little idols and those kind of things. You think David didn't know all that when he was saying these words? Of course he did. Lord, help our sons to be strong. And that there'd be barriers in their lives that they don't want to run off like Samson did to find Delilah. I'm going to tell you, was Samson happy? Can you say Samson was a happy man? He followed this and he was happy. He was destroyed. He was destroyed. That there be no complaining in our streets. Oh, I'm going to tell you. Thank God for salvation. Can you get the picture of what David was talking about? That there be no complaining. That's a big order, Brother Ed. That there be no complaining. It really means that there be no just reason for a complaint, what he's talking about. That the leadership is ordered in such a way that there is no just complaint that the people could make. That we have put things in a just way. We will treat you justly. David wasn't the king that wanted to take advantage of the people, but he was wanting them to be happy. And therefore, in order to be happy, they needed to feel like they were being done justly. And that's what he was talking about, to be just. Have you ever been done unjustly?
Yes, I have.
I have been too. And it just feels awful. It violates something in me. And it is an awful thing to be done unjustly. David here writing has said that there be no complaint in our streets. That there would be honor in the workings of the government, in the head, those around you. Oh, if you're a mother, be just. If you're a father, be just. If you're some way in any kind of authority, be just. It'll lead to happiness. It'll lead to people will honor you when you're fair and you're just. And he said that there'd be no complaining. That people won't have anything to murmur about. That there would be happiness in there and there'd be justice in working. That's a valuable thing. I can remember times in my life that I was just done. One thing that always tempered it was is I got away with a lot of things that I should have got in trouble for. And so when I got in trouble for something that I didn't deserve, I kind of balanced out a little bit. It was hard not to get too upset about it because I kind of had it coming in another way. But just injustice it hurts people. Lord, help us tonight. That there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Happy is that people that is in such a case as this. That have these elements and things working in their lives. It's self-fulfilling, so to speak. It's God-fulfilling. It's the things that God has made us to be like that works through. This is the natural sense of it. We are more, we're a being. We have feelings. We have emotions. We do things. We live. Well, there's things that makes us happy. And these things are addressed here in this. It's the things that secure and solid. It's the real valuable things. The world teaches that if you get out here and do this, you get you a wife, for instance, and you don't get along with her, well, just go get another one.
Yes.
That don't make for much happiness.
No,
that isn't the way to do it. That's a bad plan.
Yes, it is.
God's got the right plan in this. Here is the order in such a case as this. If you'll follow these things, you'll be a happy people. A people that can rest with one another. A people that can be secured with one another. That this, in this kind of a place, grows. It's the environment for deep relationships. This is where two men can really, really get together and honor one another because they have confidence in one another. He grew up like a strong tree. He does not wishy-washy. He don't move. I've never seen him waver. He don't give in to temptations to the flesh. He don't die in a strong place. There's a man. There's a young man that I'd be pleased to marry my daughter. There's a man that I'd be pleased. And there's that young woman that holds herself in such a careful manner. Not to present anything out of the way. Carries herself in a godly way. One that is careful about her person. Careful the way she portrays herself. There's one for my son. There's one for my son. That'll make a good environment all the way around when there's respect and honor. In such a case as this, this is what promotes, it's what brings forth the valuable things. Happy is that people that in such a case, yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. After saying all of that, comes down to this. Happy is those people whose God is the Lord. Because if you tried in your own self to do all of that, you'd be a miserable failure. It takes God. And it's a work of God, but yet inside of God, there is in the third element, I would that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. In the third element of that, there is a place in God that I'm going to tell you outshines everything else in this world. I've experienced what the Lord has said here. I can't say I grew up as this young plant and not being marred and kicked around and all that stuff. But when I come to the Lord, I got born again and He straightened that all out. And there is a place here in the Lord that I can testify to you tonight that there is a place in the Lord that no matter what else happens, in this life, come what may, it can rain, it can storm, it can all those things can come that challenges our lives, and yet deep in my soul is something. I've experienced these things. I've sat with my feet after a hard day's work, had my feet up, my fireplace a crack on, the children playing around in the floor, the wife sitting over there doing something, and me, I feel this is life. This is it right here. This is wonderful here. Everyone's at peace. The children are playing. What a life. What a life to be able to live. Thank God for it. I'm glad for the security that God gives us. Oh, I'm going to say, I'm not in the some kind of make-believe world here. We have our times. But we've always had the Lord there to temper us out of all those things. By the time that I felt like blowing up, I didn't. The other times when I did, I made it right for doing it. I always had God there to straighten the things out and make it what it ought to be. Over and over again, when I felt like human love couldn't do it, God's love did it. But when my devotions for the human things didn't hold on, the devotion of God did. My desire to please God was there in all that. And happy is those people whose God is the Lord, who I can count on by faith that it's all right. When it looks like the storms have come and have tore it all down. You ever been that kind of place? Well, I'll tell you, the best place to be is prospering and in health. And my soul prospered. And then something comes and health is deteriorated and prosperity goes.
And happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Amen. Old Job was in that kind of a place himself, wasn't he? He was happy. He was happy. He had his family. He had heads around him. God had hedged him. He had all the things that he needed in life was right there before him. And in a moment, and he wasn't warned. There was no warning coming his way. Nobody ever said to Job, watch out, here it comes. None of those kind of things. All of a sudden, here it started and happened. And when it all got through happening, Job still had the Lord. Happy is the people whose God is the Lord. This is my God, and through it, and God kept him through it. And do you know what God was only trying to do? And he'll do it for you in your life. I'm going to tell you, God's will is for us that we are prosperous and be in health. Even as our soul prospers. He wants to give us the, if he could do it, that's the way he would do all of us. The truth of it is God's got to deal with the third part. That soul prospering thing. And he did with Job. He did with Job. Job was a righteous man, and God testified there's none like him. You go look at this guy. But yet in Job, there were some places that Job needed the work done. And when God got through with him, you know what he ended up being? He ended up being prosperous and in health as his soul prospered. God returned to him all of these things and brought them back to him. The best way to live life, folks, maybe it's a feeble attempt, but it's my argument tonight. The best way to live, the only life you're going to have, is to live it full tilt for God. Make the Lord your God. Make God the point of your life. Put Him first in your life and prosper your soul. And God will prosper you as He sees fit to prosper you and everything else. But it won't be just thunder and lightning, folks. It don't work that way. He does it by teaching us. By instructing us. He comes and tells us, don't live that way. Don't live frivolously. If you live frivolously, you're not going to be happy. You can't live frivolously and be happy. Not with your soul and not with the cares of these worldly things either. You gotta take care of them. You gotta use what the Lord's got. You gotta be a steward of these things. And God will bless you with them, but you gotta be a good steward of them. Yes, heard the story of Frances Ridley Havergal. It was such a challenge to me. She so consecrated herself that she believed that every penny that she had was God's. And she put it in action. She just didn't say that. We all can say it. She put it into action. Everything she did was pointed for the purpose of God. Well, she had needs too, but that was God's purpose for her, but it wasn't frivolously, because everything was God's. And she also believed every moment was God's. What a challenge. This moment's God's moment. There's times that I need to revive my own spirit, and God's going to give me those times to do that, but it's God's time. It's all God's time. And all God wants to prosper us and be in health, even as our soul prospers. But He got to teach us, Lord, help us to know how. He don't just do it in spite of ourselves, folks. It's a lesson that we do. Young people, you're not just going to wake up one morning being this way. It's going to be a determination that you have in your heart. Amen. It's going to be a desire that the Lord's going to give you that I want to go this way. Lord, help me be a man of integrity. Help me to be the husband I need to be. Lord, I can never be that without You. I need Your help to make me that husband that I need to be. And then, Lord, the family's going to come. I need Your help to be the father that I need to be. Wives are going to say, I need to be the... Lord, help me to be the wife I need to be. Help me to be the mother that I need to be. That I can bring these children up in one more generation down. There are some people that are standing straight up. They've raised straight. They grew straight. They got some integrity about their life. There's a desire for that. We can't make them live that way, but we sure can set it in their hearts. David prayed for it. Maybe we should pray for it too. Lord, help our young people to grow up like plants in their youth. Lord, help them to be polished cornerstones. Lord, help them to have desire. Help them, Lord, to go on with this, because this is what we see. It just happened up home recently. Bitter. Young man that was at our altars many, many, many times. I was with him many, many, many times myself. Heard just recently another sad story. Him and his wife split up, got some children. Wife
supposedly fooling around, couldn't get along with this, doing it, all this around. Now they're gone, went out in the world, got a wife, done all those things. Heartache, misery. The world says it's going to be happy. You're happy. Go get your wife right. You do this and be happy. And now they're crying at nights. Just, this young man that I know, he can't even eat because his stomach's so tore up by the whole thing. He can't eat and he's been nauseous and throwing up and sick. Lord have mercy. The end of that kind of a life.
Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And the thing about this one is, it endures, folks. It endures. It keeps going. It keeps going and going. At the end of it all, we live this life in a few days and seems like maybe a long time in some sense. And in a few days, really is all it is. And then body starts failing and all these things start coming down. And seeing situations I've seen it over and over and over. And Lord help. I've seen men get so grumpy and cantankerous in their life, they come down to the end of their life and not have a friend to even come and care. Lord help. That's not the design of the plan. That's not what it's on. My own grandpa, cantankerous fellow. I don't know how he ever got that way other than the devil just took advantage of him. So he didn't have a care or concern for his family. He would think, oh, my mother was one of 12 children. There was a bunch of them. My grandpa would take off to the hunting camps and leave them for weeks without even any food. He wasn't working, wasn't no money, wasn't no food. He didn't care and he went off and the men thought he was a wonderful man. They just thought he was a wild man. Go to the hunting camps and cook for them and they had plenty of food and he'd sit around and do the things that men do at that kind of a place. And they thought highly of him, but his own family, they didn't think highly of him. When I was a young boy growing up, my uncle's big old men, some of them 6'4", they were 6'4", 6'3", they'd come back home and grandpa be seen them do it many times. They come in there and say, hey, old man. See, they grew up. They grew up to be men. Now he's an old man sitting there in a chair. I've seen them come in and come on, old man, get up out of there. I'll just cuff your ears. They hadn't seen him for all of that time. Come in, I'll cuff your ears and go over there and start slapping him around in the chair. And he'd be cussing and swearing at him and they'd go through the house laughing, go in there and hug their mom, tell them how much they loved him. They did that over and over again. That's the way it is, isn't it? Lord, help us tonight. Yes. That's the end of lives lived to the self, right, to the flesh. Those kind of things happen over and over again. They don't care nothing about it. But there's better than that. And I'll testify for myself, I am so thankful tonight to be saved. I thank God every day for it. I tell you what, I'll be driving down the road and it'll just hit me and I'll tell my wife, I am so glad to be saved. I am just so glad to be saved for all the things that's going on out there in that world. And I can say positively, I love my wife so much and am so devoted to her. She loves me so much and so devoted to me. It is just so wonderful to have home and family and have all those kind of things. And I have self-worth. I ain't been cheating anybody. I haven't done it. There's nobody I can't look in the eye. I just have to say, thank you, Jesus, I'm saved today. Thank God for it. Happy is the people whose God is the Lord. Because the bottom line of it, folks, in closing, the bottom line of it is these things cannot be manufactured. The world tries in all the world's wisdom to try to come up with the plans to do it the way it should be done. The way they think it should be done to cause people. What is the bottom? What is everybody after? Happiness? Everybody's after happiness. It's just a warped way of trying to find it. So the world says, if you get enough money, you'll be happy. Is that what David said? No. There was things that was worth something in these instructions. It wasn't about money. They said, if you're popular enough, you'll be happy. I think Brother Ed mentioned Michael Jackson. It's hard to say personally. All you get is maybe seeing something on the tabloids or you see the radio or something like that and knew he was in trouble for molestation charges at different times in his life and he had become one of the most popular people in the world. Yeah. In the whole world. Yeah. Michael Jackson. You think he was happy? He sure didn't seem like it. He seemed miserable and undone, always looking for the next thrill, never happy with it. It didn't seem like it could ever be done. Oh, it's such deception, folks. If he couldn't do it in all of that, you'll not do it in your little world either. Make God your Lord tonight. I'm going to tell you, it's a road worth going down tonight. It's a road that's going to lead you into prosperity and health and happiness. I still believe with all the things that are as on our, I have to say this, to testify of the Lord. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all, proving it over and over and over. I still say the saints are the healthiest people in the world. God has come to our rescue time and time and time again. The Lord is, you know, wife can testify to this. We was on about a year and a half straight run to where there was one affliction after another. We got to even saying, what's the next one? In the hopes that saying it would divert it. You know, you think, well, if I can say it before it happens, it has to divert. There ain't no way you can call it. And it happened anyway. A year and a half of there wasn't, in our family, somebody was always sick. What looked serious or not critical, but serious things happening. I had a year and a half's worth of them, and I just kept, I wouldn't even say many are the afflictions. I just saying the Lord delivereth out of them all. The next one would come before the other one ended, and I'd say, and the Lord. I'd be in prayer and say, and the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Then just 2 days later, and the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And you know what? The Lord delivered them out of them all. Thank God. Amen. The Lord, it's the best way to go, folks. Yes. It's the best way to go. Thank God tonight for salvation. You pray for me.